Smashville Live is live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Come by and see us if you're in Williamson County. We're here for the next hour in the Cool Springs Galleria. The show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila. My name is Max Herz, along with Hal Gill, and we've got our two French defensemen with us tonight, Jeremy Lauzon and Alex Carrier here. Let's hear it for the boys. Great crowd. Still some open tables, though. Come by and join us. Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Guys, great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jeremy played in that game last night, which was an absolute romp in Buffalo, so got some sleep, came out to the show. And Alex, great to see you as well, working your way back from injury. We'll start with you, Jeremy. How much fun was that game last night?
Yeah, and we needed it, too. Yeah, after that game in New York, guys were low a little bit, so it was fun to come out and play a good game and come out with a win.
Second period, you guys got four goals really quickly. What was it like for you guys to pull away in that game, especially having one disallowed right before that, too?
Yeah, we knew, like, we kind of expect them to, like, come really hard beginning of the second, because they lost the previous game 7-0 too against Boston. So, like, we knew it was kind of going to be a battle, and so we were more prepared, I guess, and we came and kind of put it down their throat, and then the game was pretty much over.
Well, I'm intrigued by this because, you know, we've talked for so long about how the locker room was so great and all these guys were working for each other and the leadership group, and you were a part of that. You were part of that team, both of you guys, that, and then all these guys get traded away and you have all these young guys come up, you have injuries, and you go and lose a game. How did the young guys respond? Because that was my big concern, is like, hey, everyone was playing great. You're playing great hockey on that road trip. You found ways to win games. You come back and then you go play the Rangers, and it's like, oh no, I was worried about the guys.
Yeah.
But how did you guys address that and say, hey, that's just one game? I know. I've been there.
Yeah.
You got to put that game. It's just one game. You got to put it behind you. But how did you talk to the young guys and say that it's one game?
Yeah, I think that was just a message from everybody, from the coaches and from the leadership group. It was just try to regroup and just forget about this game and just move on. And we're still like 5 points or a couple points in front below first.
Still in the hunt.
Playoff. Yeah, exactly. And we have a couple games in hand too, so we needed to concentrate on the future, and that's what we did. And the kid line, or I don't know how I can do that or say that, but they were in fire. And it was just great to watch, and everybody enjoyed that game too.
And Carzy, you're at home watching this. What are you seeing? Like, it's got to be hard. First of all, I want to ask you about being away from the guys, because I know you're doing everything you can, and you've had a tough season where you came back from injury, and then you're sitting out watching. So how hard is that for you to watch it from being at home?
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you're in playoffs run like that, when you're 5 points behind, and you want to help the team get some wins and stuff like that. It's hard, but, you know, I try to – obviously, I still work out and all that, and I try to be around the guys as much as I can,
even though
they're always on the road. But I thought, watching from my couch last night, I thought the guys looked great. That was something that worried me as well. I was like, how are they going to respond from a game like that, you know, with a younger group of guys? And I thought in the first, we looked so much more ready than Buffalo was. And then obviously we got hot in the second, and it was pretty much over after that. But
yeah,
it was a great win. Fun to watch.
Lazzy, you're going through all this. You're seeing Roman Josi's out of the game. You ended up playing, what, 26 minutes in that game? 20, over 25? I think that was your personal high. Mm-hmm. What do you think about playing that many minutes and playing a good game too?
Yeah, I was tired.
I even told him after. I'm like, how are you feeling? He's like, I'm gassed.
It's because the way I play the game too, it's hard. It's like hard minutes. So I play hard and physical and close hard. So obviously, I was gassed. But I think that's a little bit what happened too. Like, the Winnipeg game was so hard for every guy, and just so mentally straining, and we end up losing in OT, and we're like all Like, we really wanted to win that game, and after that we just got to New York, and I think we didn't have the gas to play them.
Yeah, it's a tough position. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, obviously it's tough to see our leadership go down, and obviously our captain.
Yeah.
He's a big part of our decor, but also our offense. And it's just fun to see after that game in New York that we bounce back, and that we can actually, like, the kids can play and we can produce offensively.
Predators defenseman Jeremy Lauzon and Alex Carrier are our guests here on Smashville Live, and we get the overworked side from the guys who are still in the lineup on D. And Alex, I want to get your perspective too on being out. You've missed three stretches with injuries this year, including the last 10 games. What has this season been like for you, the highs and the lows?
Yeah, it's been a lot of ups and downs from, overtime goals against Edmonton, and then getting hurt, coming back, trade deadline, and then getting hurt again. So it's been a lot of up and downs, but I think it was a great learning year for me. Even beginning of the season, I wasn't playing how I wanted to play, and I think that was, contract year and all that, putting pressure on myself. So, and then after that, injuries that I didn't really, I'll knock on wood, but I didn't really got hurt that much before this year. So learning through that, things I can't control as well, right? So just got to stay mentally fresh, stay positive as much as I can, and once I'm back, then ready to go.
You mentioned that goal against the Oilers. That was on December 19th. You had been out the previous four games before that. That, to me, is kind of the game that turned the whole season around. Ended a six-game losing streak. You score that goal in overtime. First ever goal you'd scored in overtime against a team you guys had really struggled against the last few years. Do you guys feel that was kind of a point that changed a lot of things this season?
For me, personally, like individually, I think it was. Just coming back for missing a few games, you're excited to come back, and then you do it against a great team offensively like Edmonton, and then you get a success, you get a big win. For me, mentally, and how I felt on the ice was a big turning point. That and the Father's Trip. Father's Trip was another turning point for me. But, I think it was – I think from there we started to win a bit more and starting to get closer to the playoff race. And, so I think it was.
I got to ask you, we got to dig into that one. Why the Father's Trip? Why just the way the games played out, or anything that stood out in your mind? Obviously, really cool to have your father on a trip.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we didn't get the win in Tampa Bay when the fathers were there. But for me personally, I needed a moment like that just to settle down and having a good time and playing hockey, having fun. And then when your dad's in the stands, and it's just bring back memories of growing up playing hockey and my dad coaching me. And I think they had a blast as well. They had a fun time.
Oh, we all knew that. We all know they had a good time. I actually, your father came up to me after the game, Carzy, and it was like his face was just beaming. It was really cool. And I know for being on the other side, being a father, my little nitwit, he might never play in the NHL, but
he will.
But to be in that position to see your kid, it was really cool for him too.
Yeah, it was a great moment. Yeah, and then our dads are keep.
They keep in touch.
Yeah, touch. Yeah, Dutchie's dad as well.
Dutchie's dad. All the Canadians, actually.
Like Canadians stick together.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lauzon are our guests. And, Jeremy, we have just passed a year of you being on the Preds. It almost feels like a lot longer, at least to us, since you were traded from the Kraken. What's it been like becoming settled here, you and your fiance, and knowing that this is your spot for the long foreseeable future?
Oh, it's been amazing. Since the trade, I felt like home. I was welcoming. The team welcomed me with open arms, and the guys were great. I love the city. I love the people here. So, no, it's been unreal, and that's a little bit of a reason why we decided to go on a longer contract, too, because I really felt like it's a place that I can get better as a hockey player, but an individual, too, and see myself playing here for a long time, so.
Yeah, there's so many questions. When are we going to take a break here?
One more question, Skillet.
I want to tackle a lot of this stuff because, like you said, you can see yourself here, and both of you guys you're learning under some of the best with Roman Josi, of course, Matthias Ekholm, but Ryan McDonagh comes in and he comes back into the game. Obviously Jost transcends the game. He does some things that every defenseman wishes they could do, but McDonagh is a different player. He just sees the game so well. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what you guys see from him and how he, you know, not just the way he manages on the ice, but in the locker room, what kind of presence he has.
Yeah, obviously he has a big presence. He won two cups. Yeah. He knows how to win. He's been in the league forever, and he's a great hockey player. And he helps everybody. He's a great leader too. So, and just having him on the back end yesterday, you could have just seen it. It just settles everybody. What impressed me the most about his game is how he reads a rush.
Yeah.
He cut two rushes when they had the full control and they were looking for passes on their rush, and he was just stepping in.
He just stepped
up
and skated the
other
way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody does that.
I was just going to ask you about that play because, I for me, having a good gap is one thing.
Yeah.
But to be able to skate forward, knowing that that pass could go over your stick or whatever, I would be scared to do that. And he has just full confidence, reads the play, and then skating. And it's almost like you're transitioning forward when he gets the puck. Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. And I asked him after his second play, I was like, what do you read there? Like, what do you see? Like, I would love to do that. Yeah. So, yeah, he just said, like, I don't know. I think he's just, like, in his game now, and he's such a veteran.
But I feel like you guys have gotten some of that, and the confidence you guys have in your gap, and that's the one thing I noticed. Karzy, first thing I saw about you is you trust in your skating so you can get up in the gap. And Lazy, you're going for the hit. You're going for the big collision. But you have to be up on your gap to do that. So is that just confidence in your skating? Is it confidence in reading the play? And you guys keep, you know, through your career, you keep getting better and better.
Yeah, I think from McDonagh, I think also it's his reads, it's his skating. He's a great skater, but it's also his positioning.
Yeah.
He's never out of place. He's always at the right spot. He doesn't try to, like, complicate stuff. Everything looks so easy.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
So easy for simple.
And he's not going, like, 100 miles an hour every time when he's skating. He's just so in control, reading the play, always shoulder checking, see where the options are, where's everyone on the ice and stuff like that. And I think for me, that's something that I was so impressed with, how he positioned himself. And I think from that, everything is easier.
Yeah.
So his gaps are easier. His sticks is always the right spot too. So it's something I got to learn a little bit, that you don't need to work 100% every time.
I've watched you. You're fearless. I get it. I love it.
We got three defensemen here hanging out at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs.
I just geeked out defensively.
Great.
I get like that sometimes.
We got three on this penalty kill.
We didn't even get into penalty kill.
Yet. I know. Well, we got three more hours to do that. We're here until 7 o'clock. If you're in Williamson County, come by to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs in the Cool Springs Galleria. We got Jeremy Lozon and Alex Carrier here on Smashville Live. They're going to sign some autographs, and we'll have more fun here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live. We are at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. If you're in Williamson County, Brentwood, Franklin, somewhere else where rush hour won't stop you, come by and see us. We'll be here till 7 hanging out with Preds D-men Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. I'm Max Hers. Hal Gill's here as well. The show is sponsored by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sportsbook, and Dulce Vita Tequila. So, Jeremy, I've been wanting to ask you this for like 3 weeks since Tyson Barrie was acquired. He's like the ultimate nickname guy. And he comes up with all these nicknames.
Yeah.
Did you see his nickname suggestions for you?
I know,
in
I
the
saw
video?
It. Yeah, I
so
saw
he,
it.
He had some good ones. He wanted lasagna, which is, I mean, pretty close to Lausanne. We've heard that one before, but he took it a step further. He went from lasagna to Garfield, which I love because Garfield loves lasagna.
Yeah.
Have any of these stuck? Do you like any of these?
I don't mind these, but no, they didn't stuck. I don't know.
You did?
I don't follow. No,
I didn't hear Garfield yet. So I'm new to that. But the lasagna one.
Lasagna. I feel like they've been using it too.
Yeah, bit. Even my brother is calling you lasagna. And he's like, when he saw the video of him saying that, he's like, you gotta tell him that that's me.
Yeah,
I'm saying that. I thought it was hilarious.
All right. Well, lasagna's good. Garfield's good.
Yeah.
He also said,
and just for the people know, I was a nickname guy. I just. because you're in the locker room. That's what I want to explain is people don't understand. I think Tyson is this kind of guy.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I never played with him. But he's, you know, you're talking in the locker room and you're just – you're saying stupid stuff, and it goes back and forth.
It goes four layers deep.
Yeah, exactly. It just keeps building. And so is that where that kind of comes from?
I think so. It's just Lozon sounds like lasagna, and after that, Garfield. And it's going to go deeper after that. I don't know.
He also said lozenger.
The lozenger.
That
lozenger,
might be pushing it.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Really?
That's majestic, the way you made that work out. I appreciate that craft.
Yeah, no, it is craftsmanship.
It is.
It's art.
I think Tyson Barry, both what he brings on and off the ice, sums up what this team has done well since you guys lost some really important players. Mm-hmm. Four guys traded away. Four more guys have been hurt, including you, Alex, and the team has played well through it. What has the atmosphere been like in terms of new faces, both guys coming in from other teams and players coming up from the AHL?
It's been great. I think that organization does a really good thing about bringing good people, and it shows in their AHL team in Milwaukee and also here. We're all good guys, and we just since after the trade deadline, it just that's what I was like scared a little bit that the atmosphere would change and the young guys would not take their place, and it's been the other way around. Like, we have Luke that's just so outspoken, just makes everybody laugh every day. So, no, it's just been great to see those kids just come in and been hot.
Well, we saw in the video last night, who was it? Was it Kiefer who was giving him the player of the game helmet? And he said, I hate to do this, but I got to give it to Luke Evangelista. That's when you know the kid's a ham. Like, we don't even want to give him the attention because he's not going to shut up about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, he's an Ontario kid, right?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Toronto kid,
The Toronto kid, you got to be careful giving him the props.
No, but he's a great kid. We all love him.
There's a lot of young energy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of pressure on you guys to win. You guys had big games, and you lose a big game, and it was like, oh, we're all these expectations to be a cup contender, and you felt like you had a great team. And then, okay, you get chopped down to size, and you trade guys away, and then – but I feel like you still have – it's a different kind of excitement. Mm-hmm. Am I right? You go out in a game and say, hey, let's see what we can do here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more, he makes mistakes, and young guys are going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And everyone, you kind of accept it, but young guys are making plays.
It
becomes fun. Is that kind of the atmosphere? That's a change that I see.
Yeah, and I think we all, like, rallied around the fact that we want to prove that we're still able to make playoff, and we really want to make playoff. And it's exciting to see that we're still in the race, and there's still a good chance that we make playoff, so... We're pushing really hard to get that goal, and that's what we're going for.
I got to ask you. I know you're looking for playoffs, and you guys want to push in, but Lazzy, you got Seattle twice, and then we're going to Boston. Mm. You got some ghosts that you want to beat. You got some more motivation than you ever had, right?
Some more money on the board.
Money on the board. Spend it now.
yeah. Obviously, just two of my old teams for sure. I haven't won still against them. I haven't won against Seattle being a year, and when I played in Seattle, we haven't won against Boston. So. A little chip on my shoulder there.
Are you excited about it?
Yeah. It's always exciting to play against your old team and your old teammates.
How different is it to have someone said it's almost like a mini playoff series playing two games at home? It's like game one and two.
The build up, like, it's always like if something happens in game one, the build up continues in game two, and just. We actually like played a couple of games like that during the COVID year. Like, we always had the back to backs, and it felt like the second game was always like more intense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
Yeah,
it's always exciting.
We got Jeremy Lozon and Alex Carrier here, and Alex, you got to play right before the trade deadline, before you were injured. What have you observed being with the team for the home games and from afar about how well they've played the last few weeks?
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of the COVID year when I got called up, Giner got called up, a bunch of the younger guys got called up, and I think we were a bit in the same, a similar situation of a bit out of the playoffs, so we need to make a push and that kind of stuff. And I kind of see similar stuff from 2 years ago to right now, that guys are really trying really hard, and like just how they express themselves on the ice. Like, I'm thinking about the game on Saturday when I think Novi scored, or Novi passed to Luke or something. But anyway, yeah. The expression of Woody when we scored was unreal.
Yeah.
And it's not because he had a point, not because...
More excited about it than anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
And he didn't score the goal.
He didn't score the goal, didn't have an assist or anything. He just wanted to win. And I think that's great, and I think you can feel that. Obviously, like, they've been on the road a lot, so I can't tell for sure, but just looking from my couch again, it's great. It's great to see.
So can we get into the penalty kill?
Yes. Yes.
Because these
PK
guys
time.
Have been crushing it on
best,
the penalty kill.
Best unit. I mean, I don't even want to say best unit. Best aspect of the team the last month. It's been unbelievable.
It's been so fun for me to watch. I was a penalty kill guy, so, like, I just love everything you're doing, but from everything I hear, you have guys in meetings and you're talking about it, and it's a commitment, not just from, you know, one or two guys. It's the whole team that seems to buy in. So tell me what's in your mind, what's working well on the penalty kill?
I feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit like, it started with our coach, Dan Hino.
Yeah.
He's been doing an incredible job for us. And it started with our leadership. When you see a guy like McDonough that just goes
eating pucks with his face
and with his body every night.
It's crazy.
You got a guy like Sisson that works incredibly hard. It pushed everybody forward, and everybody bought in the system. And it works, and we've been – like, there's times in the games that we get dominated by the other team, and we get a two-minute, and we're like, thank God. We're going to get some momentum here.
I love it.
Like, and everybody feels like that.
That's what it feels like.
It's great. It's great.
Seems like Colton Sissons wins the faceoff to start every kill.
Yeah.
What does it feel like for you guys when he gets the win and one of you guys or Cole Smith gets the clear and you guys can just set up your forecheck and start drooling on him and just never let him get back in?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's massive, because even when you're on the PP, you want to win the faceoff and start in the ozone, right? So as soon as Sis wins the draw and then we clear it, then they got to come in, right? So it gives us a big advantage of, you know, clearing it right away, because our centermen are so good at doing it. And then I wanted to add as well, as our PK has been so good, because our goaltending has been amazing
as well.
So
exactly. That helps.
So I feel like everyone is on the same page, and it's nice to see everyone's sacrificing, everyone's blocking shot, and it's great.
Having Juice and Lanky back there, like, how nice. I know for me, go ahead, take that shot. You're not going to score from there. You're not going to score on our guy. Go ahead, take that shot, and you can take away the backdoor play or whatever. Do you guys talk about that? Just, hey, this is Juice. You can handle that, right? Okay, good. We'll get everything else. Do you guys talk about that, or is that just something that you is built up, the confidence?
No, we do, and and other teams knows too. Like, We leave the easy shot for Juice, and they rarely take it too, so it works out for everybody.
Have you seen teams adjust over the course of these last few weeks when you guys have killed basically every penalty? Have they come at you differently at all?
Yes and no, but like late like that in the season, like everybody's kind of all their power play, they have their plays and everything. It's just more like the PK, we like tweak a couple of things. Obviously sometimes we play like a team like New York, they have two first power plays. So things happen. But no, we've been like the whole year, I feel like we've been really good at adjusting to every power play.
I used to, and I'm geeking out for a second, Max, hang in there. But for the hockey fans out there, that I feel like when I played defense, I didn't want my forwards to switch. I just like, just take away the one-timer. Just stand on Ovechkin or take away that play. Stamkos is over there. Just take that play away. I don't want you guys to switch. But somehow our forwards are getting it, and you guys are feeding off that. When a guy's pushing down and they switch underneath, and you can see that. I've seen you, Lazi, do it a couple times. I know, Karzy, you love to jump that. When a guy's pushing down, you give him a little poke and you back off. It rattles them, and they feel like there's no space. So is that something that has developed, or is that something that you said Hinote has talked to you guys a lot about it? Is that something he pushes?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons why we're having success as well, is how our forwards pressure.
Yeah.
You know, the guys
not
on the half
wall. Not passive. It's they're going to make decisions.
They're going. So yeah, we sometimes get the easier job because we don't have to skate as much. Yeah. We got to make more read, I feel like. But the forwards been on their horses, and they're just, you know, pressuring and making sure they don't have as much space, as much time. And then we read of that a little bit. And I think it's easier because we're just sitting back a little bit. But yeah, I feel like skills player, when you give them time, then they're dangerous.
Gonna make plays.
Yeah, they're going to make plays. So yeah, I think it's a big part of our PK. And I know at the beginning of the season was all about it too. It was like a training camp, like we're going to pressure every team. They're going to be sick of us because we're going to be on them all the time and stuff like that. So that guy is awesome. You guys know him, obviously.
Yeah,
awesome. And you want to kill for him as well. You want the PK to be so good because he's such a nice guy, such a good coach that everyone wants to play for him and kill for him.
Yeah.
How much fun do you get, like, after you said it, like, we're going to get this kill? How big is that on the bench when you do get the kill? Because you guys have done it, especially the last handful of games. You get momentum out of that. Mm-hmm. If the game changes around. Like you said, they're all over us. Give us a penalty kill. We'll kill it. It's a momentum changer.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's been massive for us, and it's been changing games too in our favor. And it's been great. And just to piggyback a little bit of what Kersey said, like, I feel like when we get scored on a PK, like, obviously I'm mad that we scored, but I'm like sad for Dino because he worked so hard at it. And like he said, like he was like,
you don't want to let him down.
The beginning of the year, like, we were a little bit lost out there because it was different for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of games that we got scored on, and he was always positive and like, let's just continue working on it. You'll see later on the year we'll be solid and we'll be killing everything. And he was right. Now our PK is one of the best in the league.
Couldn't have been more right. Dan Hinote and the Preds PK been getting it done. That was fun. Let's geek out on the PK every week.
I love that. That's what I love. You know what I love more than anything is these power play guys. No offense, Karzy. These power play guys that think, oh, they're going to snap it around. I'm going to make some sauce passes, one-timers, and then you just shut them down. It's like, that's my crack. Yeah, I'm addicted to that. So I love that these guys are too.
Yeah, and I remember you playing in Montreal, and you were famous for your one knee down.
The one, oh, yeah.
I remember that down, like, yesterday.
I was just lazy.
Didn't sell a lot of jerseys, but won the heart of a young Habs fan.
Nice. Nice.
Look at all the people you inspire.
Are we going to talk about Montreal and Quebec? Are we going to get there?
Let's do some commercials and do that. You like that plan?
Yeah.
All right. Smashville Live. Jeremy Lauzon, Alex Carrier. We're at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We'll talk about Quebec coming up next on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live. We are at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. I guess we've got four defensemen here now because Talon Gill, son of Hal, has joined us. The show is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila. Max Herz and Hal Gill hosting, along with Preds French-Canadian defenseman Jeremy Lauzon and Alex Carrier. Before we talk about Quebec, guys, can we get the full, like, actual French, both of your names, please, and your voices? I always love hearing it.
Alexandre Carrier. Jeremy Lauzon.
It's so great. And if I did it, it would be so offensive.
You have to try it now, though.
Yeah, you have to try it now.
I can do it. Let me just clear my throat here real quick.
It's a tough one for me because I'm Al Gilles.
Al Gilles.
Al. Yeah. There's no H.
No, there's no H. You don't pronounce the H.
Do you actually want me to do it?
Yeah. Go.
Jeremy Lauzon.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Alexandre Carrier.
You got to get the Alexandre.
Alexandre.
Alexandre. Alexandre.
Yeah.
Alexandre. But in English, you prefer just Alex.
Yeah, Alex easier. When I go somewhere, I just introduce myself as Alex.
It makes everyone's life easier.
Easy for us English speakers here. So let's talk about your guys' hockey lives and how you guys got here. Alex, we'll start with you. Born in Quebec City, correct? How old were you when you moved to Montreal?
5 years old.
Okay. So you consider yourself a full-on Montrealer?
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure.
It's so weird for all the hockey stuff because it lists where you guys were born. Mm. And, like, there are players who had parents who played in foreign countries who are listed as European, who are very clearly American players. So it's always weird looking at that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Because when they ask, they say birthplace.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, my birthplace was Quebec City, but I'm not really from there.
You're not going to lie, but, I mean, we want to know, like, yeah, where you consider yourself to be from. So every time.
Well, I always laugh because I had people that would come up to me and say, oh, I'm good friends with Hallie from Concord. I was born in Concord. I was raised outside. So if they knew I was from Bolton, Massachusetts, then.
You knew
then
they really knew
They
you.
Really knew me.
Yeah.
If they said, you know, that is a different thing, right? Yeah.
So 5 years old when you moved to Montreal, and you had a great interview with Hal Gill, our intrepid reporter, earlier this year, talking about you weren't a full-on Habs fan. You were more of a full-on hockey fan, and you loved Alex Ovechkin.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't, like, I think it's coming from my family. We weren't, like, watching the Habs every game kind of thing. We were more, like, my dad played hockey, my older brother played hockey, so I was always... I just love the game of going outside, outdoor rink, playing hockey with my buddies, roller hockey. It was always about hockey 24/7, but it wasn't the Habs 24/7 kind of thing. So, I always loved hockey, but not only the Habs. Yeah.
And
but
you,
don't forget, like you know, the hockey is on every corner, right? There's a rink on every corner.
I'm so jealous.
Lazzy skated to school. Like, it was
pretty much. Up in Val d'Or,
yeah.
Yeah, we have snow in October to late to April. So, yeah, basically.
It's cold up there.
That means a lot. If you're someone from Quebec and you say it's cold up there, that's a different story.
And, Jeremy, we talked to you last year right after the trade about being from Val d'Or and how much everyone up there, including yourself, loves being outdoors and being outdoorsman.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a chance to hunt or fish in Tennessee anywhere yet?
No, I haven't.
Are you looking for suggestions for this summer? Because we might have some in the crowd here.
Yeah,
down here in Franklin.
Yeah, I'm open for everything. I love fishing. So my summers are mostly in Quebec, in Val d'Or, but. Yeah, I go fishing all the time. So.
That's up where you guys like fish with kittens up there, right? You go for muskie. You go muskie
no,
fishing.
No, we don't have muskies, so it's like all walleye and pike.
Walleye, okay.
Yeah.
That's some
muskies are a little bit souder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. There's some big fish up there.
Yeah, like big pikes.
Yeah.
How did you describe Val d'Or to me last year? Whatever it was, Hal, it was amazing.
There's a couple guys that I played with from Val d'Or. I couldn't remember who it was.
Well, there are also guys who played for the junior team there who aren't actually from there.
But that's a different world up there.
So there's a city there because in the 1940s, they discovered a lot of gold. It's all based around gold mines. So, like, all the economy there, it's around the gold.
Are the mines still
active? Yeah, there's like a lot of mines. Every year there's mines that open. So I have a bunch of buddies that they're miners. They did high school, didn't go to college. They just do a six-month course, and they're gold miners.
So
it's a dangerous job, but it pays well. So
if you weren't in the NHL, Jeremy, would you
be
a gold miner?
No, never.
Okay.
Never. There's like that old mine in Val d'Or that you can like go visit and go like under and – I did it this summer, and I was under for, like, 30 minutes, and I was like, nah, I can't do that.
You know what? I never knew that, but Val d'Or, like, why wouldn't I know that?
It's Valley of Gold. That's what it translates to.
Yeah.
You speak French, Al.
I know, and it just hit. I don't know why. It's just, like, it's Val d'Or. I never put it together. That's embarrassing. But it makes a lot of sense now. Mm-hmm. So what was it like for a hockey player growing up there?
Oh, it was great. Obviously, like a little bit like Alex, we were so far away from Montreal that, like, I was watching Habs games, but it wasn't just like, oh, all right, every Habs game that I need to watch. But grew up with two brothers. My dad always made a rink in my backyard. Come back to school and put our skates on and skated for 4 hours every night. So, no, it's been great. And obviously, we're like a small region, so like every time we had like teams and tournaments, we go to Montreal and we get kicked their ass. But there's me that made it to the NHL and also Nicholas Roy that's from the same region as me that plays in Vegas. So, no, it's great to go back there and actually be a model for those kids, and to have those kids look up to us. And like, it was always my dream to play in the NHL, but I had no one to look up to from my region. So to give that to the kids, it's special.
That is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool, actually. Yeah. But did you know that outdoor rink over there are all year round?
Don't push it too far.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, that's cool that you guys are the first few guys that.
Yeah, there was like a couple other guys, but like never guys that like really made it. And like, yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Talking about Quebec with Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lauzon, I want to ask you guys both about your junior careers. You got to play both in the Quebec Major Junior League. And, Alex, I want to ask you about one guy you played with. You still play with him. You show up in Gatineau. I don't know who got there first, actually. But you were there first.
Yeah.
And then you guys were being told you were getting a Russian player. And I talked to Yakov Trenin about this recently. He said, I guess his agent or whoever set it up had told him, you're going to Canada. They speak English there. And then they sent him to the Quebec League.
Yeah.
What was that like for Yakov Trenin and to play with him when he did not speak either language that any of his teammates knew?
Well, yeah, it was something. I barely knew the guy until 5 years ago almost because he couldn't talk English. I remember the first time I met him, we're sitting on the bench waiting for the Zamboni to be done. And then, so I look at him, like, I got to say something, you know. So I'm like, hey, I'm Alex, nice to meet you. So he gives me one of the nod, you know. So I'm like, so when'd you get here? Gives me the nod again. So I'm like, you speak English? Gives me the nod. So I'm like, all right, good talk.
So the nod means yes and no.
Yeah, it means whatever you want it to mean, you know. So, yeah, it was cool, though, because he was the first Russian I played with. And what I was impressed by him was how hard he worked, how hard he was really dedicated, even when we were 17. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of guys that was going every day in the gym, but he was one of those guys all the time, so I was impressed by that.
What has it been like for you watching him grow up as a person and a player?
It's been unreal. When we got drafted together, we're like, what are the odds, you know? And then we get to Milwaukee and Nashville together, and I got really close to him now with all those years. But it's been great because, first, his English is so much better. Now he's got a wife. He got a house. So it's funny because you can – you know where he came from, kind of thing. You know he was driving a really old Ford Escape that was banged up from an accident. And, you know, so I know him from, like, those days, and now we're, like, here together. So it's pretty cool to have the journey together.
That's awesome. And when we were in Ottawa, somebody was wearing a Gatineau Yakov Trenin jersey in the crowd. So that's a valuable jersey right there.
I mean, obviously, you guys are good friends. You can get your Quebecois on. You can talk to each other. How nice is it? He's got Igor that comes up. Yeah. And then have you seen it? You seen it in the locker room?
I've seen it a lot. Like, it's just nice.
Le Chaplet.
Exactly. Yeah. I know, like Tad's when turn. I got traded here, Alex was like, oh, my God, I'm so happy. I can speak French, you know. So it's always fun to speak your own language, so. I'm happy for both of them to be able to.
You were friends with everybody, though, Hal, in your playing career?
Well, I know just enough locker room talk in every language that I can, you know, I won't use it here, but I know enough. I know Swedish, Finnish, Russian, and French in
five words in each.
Yes.
Five important words.
They should never repeat.
Yeah.
The FCC does know all languages, we won't send them on the radio.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, come back, take some fan questions from our crew here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lauzon with us. Smashville Live is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sportsbook, and Dulce Vita Tequila. Here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Welcome back to Smashville Live. I just kicked Max out of the booth, and he's going to walk around and get some questions. We got Alexandre Carrier, Jeremy Lauzon. How'd I do?
Yeah, pretty good. You did good, actually. Yeah, that was really good.
Merci. I'm stepping on everything.
Oh, we got a new host.
I got a new host. Yeah, you got a new host, guys.
Nice.
I don't know if I can do this. Max is the professional. I'm just the guy who hangs out and talks hockey. But we got Max. Max, are you out there? You got any questions?
Can you?
This is awesome. This is the first time we can't hear Max. It's perfect. Well, thank you. But first of all, merci for coming out tonight and doing all this. I know you guys, the schedule's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been
Can
nuts.
We talk a little bit about the schedule?
Yeah.
Because I know this is a lot on me traveling with you guys, and I haven't been playing the game.
Yeah, no, the schedule's been crazy, but hey, we're here for it. And
I talked to Yost the other day, and I was like, Yost, this is a tough one. And he's like, I'd rather do this. You don't have to think about anything. You just play hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kind of that same?
Yeah,
I know, Carzy, you want to be playing every other game, other day.
No, I think it's like you lose a game 7-0, and after that you're right back at it, and so you forget about it. You don't have to wait 4 or 5 days and having to that game in your head.
And the practices, you get to skip the hard practices.
Yeah, exactly. That's also that, yeah.
Yeah, when you lose 7-0, you know it's a hard one coming. You'd rather play the next one and forget about it.
We had some questions from our friends Garrett, Cameron, and Allie right here. They wanted to know, first off, both you guys, what is your favorite food?
I like a New York steak.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Highbrow.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lozon going highbrow.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to choose one because I like so many stuff. I like sushi, poutine, if you guys know what that is.
Have you guys had poutine?
It's a French delicacy. Yeah.
You got to go to Quebec with them and have poutine.
Yeah, you have to.
French fries with gravy and lots of other stuff on it.
Cheese. Yeah.
Cheese curds. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. I'm going to say sushi, though. I'll say sushi.
All right.
No creton?
Huh?
Creton is like
one creton and mustard on a toast.
So creton is like
meat spread,
pork spread.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's you can only have that in Quebec.
I didn't know.
My first year in the States, I was looking for it.
I love that. And a good meat pie, a Quebec meat pie.
Oh yeah.
That's top notch.
That's a good point. I'm hungry now.
Change your answer, Alex?
I might everything. I like a lot of food.
Allie also wanted to know, and you can tell that Allie has listened to every episode, because last month, someone asked Yuso Parsonen what his favorite thing to do in Nashville was, and Yuso, the hockey robot himself, said, play hockey. So her question, because she's been listening, were you going to say that's not surprising?
That's boring. That's a boring answer.
She wanted to know your favorite thing to do other than play hockey. It doesn't have to be in Nashville. Anything else, because we know hockey is your favorite thing.
I like fishing.
That'll go well down here in Williamson County.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys have any fishing spots for Jeremy to go?
No.
He needs a good fishing hole here.
Yeah, I need to, actually. I'm hitching.
I can take you out. You just won't catch any fish.
Yeah.
or you know, maybe I just don't catch fish. I'm in the right spot. I just don't catch the fish.
They're all just swimming circles around you, Al.
They laugh at me.
All right, Alex.
And I'll say just in the summer, my parents got a boat, and I love a nice boat day going underwater and just when it's nice out. Yeah.
You water skiing?
No, it's just a boat that you sit, you have a nice beer, and just relax.
Just pontoon or something. Yeah.
When you get hot, you fall in the water.
Pretty much.
Perfect.
But yeah.
It's a good plan.
That's
a Hal Gill summer right there.
That is exactly my summer.
Well, we got one more minute here. Any other questions from Hal or Talon Gill for the crew?
I want to know, because everyone has a different answer. You're talking to Talon, who's 11 years old, my son. What do you say to him about hockey? You know, he's a young hockey player. Of course, he wants to play in the NHL. He wants to be like you guys. He doesn't want to be like me because he wants to be able to pass and make plays.
He doesn't want to have the 44th most points in Massachusetts hockey history.
But what do you tell young kids? They want to come out and play the game, these little guys over here.
I think the most important thing is don't forget it's a game. It's a sport. And just have fun playing it.
You guys have kind of embraced that.
Yeah. That's what we've been doing.
It's
been great.
The Nashville Predators have embraced, let's go out and have some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing. You know, I was going to say work hard and have fun. And when you have fun doing something, you don't work really. You just enjoy doing it.
It's a game.
Right? So for me, work hard, have fun, listen to your dad.
Yeah.
Did you hear it? He's not gonna listen.
Well, there's
to that.
An asterisk disclaimer. If your dad is Hal Gill, you don't have to listen.
You don't have to listen to him.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's awesome.
Well, Jeremy, Alex, thanks so much for coming out tonight. We had a blast. Alex, hope to see you back soon as well. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.
Merci, bonsoir.
There are two more Smashville Lives left this year, one in 2 weeks, one in 3 weeks. Stay tuned to 102.5 The Game on Twitter to find out where they'll be. Thanks to our friends at Brewhouse South here in Cool Springs Galleria for having us, and to our sponsors, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sportsbook, and Dulce Vita Tequila. For Hal Gill, I'm Max Herz. Thanks again to Jeremy Lozon and Alex Carrier for coming by. We'll see you tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena for the Preds and the Kraken. Preds Insiders is next.